Hey, this is Scott Snyder, and you're listening to Shed Talk.
Add your kids. Add your wife. And add your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
Coming straight at you from the heart of the California Redwoods, it's Shed Time.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Winning. My jokes are bad. Watchmen, Chapter 6. In Chapter 5 of Watchmen, Fearful Symmetry, at the end, we have Rorschach captured, sent to prison. That was sort of the big cliffhanger that we're left with on Chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 6 of Watchmen, this is one of my favorite portions of the entire story, and it really explores... I mean, a lot of the earlier issues get into the character of Rorschach and sort of present him to you, but Chapter 6 is really the chapter that find out who Rorschach really is. We really get into the origin and core of the character Rorschach. The splash that we see on the cover of Chapter 6 is, you could tell that it's intentionally a butterfly. Butterflies, of course, being a symbol of metamorphosis, the caterpillar cocooning and turning into a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off Chapter 6, introduce the character of Dr. Malcolm Long, who is a psychiatrist that works at the prison that Rorschach is being held in. Most of the covers of the Watchmen books, the first panel is what the cover is. Switch over to the panel number one, page number one, and we still have the butterfly splotch image on a Rorschach, on a card that Dr. Malcolm Long is asking Rorschach to...
Interpret for him, exactly.
Sure,
yeah. Rorschach gets a mental image of the dog that he will later, one of the two dogs that he'll later kill. And what does he say? He says, pretty butterfly.
Well, which is interesting because he can tell what he's supposed to see.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual image conjures up an image of the dead dog's face.
Right.
And we can see it too, though, because clearly the way that the dog's ears are shaped, how the blood is
the
flowing
blood
out.
Under, yeah, exactly.
It looks like it could be the butterfly also if you had had that experience.
Right, right.
The story of Chapter 6, too, isn't just about Rorschach. It's also about Dr. Malcolm Long's journey metamorphosizing into something else that is similar to Rorschach or that is mirroring Rorschach.
We see it with Rorschach that he goes through a three-part metamorphosis, just like the caterpillar cocoon butterfly does. Do we see a three-part transition for Dr. What's-his-name also?
Okay, throughout the story, with each session that he has, with the individual sessions that he has with Rorschach, he continues to more and more see what Rorschach is seeing, and he begins to more and more mirror what Rorschach is. Rorschach's worldview becomes but Dr. Malcolm Long's worldview by the end of the book.
By the end, it definitely
and
is.
And I don't think... With Rorschach, there's two definite transitions that we see in Chapter 6 where it's like, okay, that happened. That's what made him do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with Dr. Malcolm Long, it's more of like a gradual kind of thing.
It is.
And it's sort of... And it's signified like with the pain pills that you keep seeing him use throughout the story.
Right.
Like it starts off with one. He's trying to like... It's like all of his training, all of his, everything that he's ever learned to become a doctor, it's in doubt. All of his schooling and all of
he's
his...
He's really confident in the beginning. Psychoanalysis.
Everything that civilization has taught him is right and everything. The psychoanalysis, everything.
Psychoanalysis.
Like, I know how this works. I know how to help you.
Exactly.
I know how to fix you.
It
I
will
understand.
Solve anything. Yeah, he's such a...
Exactly. And that gets all thrown out the window by the end of the book. But it's gradual. It's like him taking the pain pills, it's him trying to resist the reality that he starts to see at the end of the book. And you as the reader start to question whether or not Rorschach is crazy. It's remember in Chapter 5 when he makes the reference to... It's something like, I can't do it verbatim right now, but in an insane world, this is the only sane response. People think I'm crazy, but this is the only sane response to this. To crime and
to the
ending of the world, you know,
right.
his sort of resistance to all that occurring, his refusal to surrender to it as he would see it.
Right, exactly. He tells the doctor four distinct stories. Mm-hmm. Tells the doctor the story of walking in on his mother, the story about the bully, the story about, it's not so much a story, but it's just he's describing what he talks a little bit about each of the different members of the Crime Busters, potential Crime Busters. He talks about the comedian, talks about Night Owl. And then, of course, he tells the story of when he became Rorschach.
Right, when we really became Rorschach. Okay, let's start with his mom.
Yeah.
Raised by a single mother who... at the end of the book, this is... Okay, at the end of chapter, you know, the tidbits that Alan Moore throws in at the end of each chapter of... at the end of each chapter, at the end of the book, you have, in this one, we have what are supposed to be letters from Rorschach when he was in a
boy's home or something.
Yeah,
like
he was, in a boy's home, in an orphanage. And after social services probably took him away from his mom. You know, they never say that specifically, but that's probably what happened. He has a total imaginary view of, he's totally made up with who his father is. His father's a war hero who fought the Nazis, who fought the good fight. He's the stellar image and projection of what a real American should be.
That's right, I forgot about that. Yeah,
he's created this image of his father because he's never had him. He never knew him.
So he's just...
And his mom never said anything about him. She just sort of said that, you know, they weren't together. And
so he's, hoping that... Or he's,
so he's created this whole mental image of his father. And his mother, obviously, who he hates for good reasons, that's just how he deals with the reality of his birth and his upbringing, which were none. One of the saddest scenes I've seen in comics is the scene with his mother. He walks in on her with one of her John. The guy, flips out and leaves, and she takes out her anger on him.
Right, just for walking in and losing.
He thought
she lost money off of that, and so she smacks him around. He's apologizing to her and then gets the back of her hand.
Well, the part when she says, I should have listened to everybody else. I should have had the abortion.
Right.
That's, being somebody that has children of my own, or a son of my own,
I know, right?
I mean, how could anybody say that?
That's the first window into Rorschach's psyche that Dr. Long gets.
The scene of the image of her beating Rorschach or attacking her son, nearly strangling him almost. When you see the panel, I think it's panel 8 of panel 8, page
4 of chapter 6.
It's the Hiroshima lovers.
So the
shadow of him. Right. So is the scene of her making love to, or not making love,
or
but
whatever,
performing her services with the John.
Right. Exactly. Their shadow.
It's a mirror image of the Rorschach splotch that you see in the card. Yeah. When Dr. Long asks him to look at the Rorschach splotch, that conjures the image of his mother working as a prostitute with the John, him walking in.
Yeah.
And then not only that, but then the memory, or at least the image that we're presented of his mother literally attacking him and strangling him and saying he should have been an abortion. Yeah. That shadow cast by them doing that is identical to the Rorschach splotch, identical to the Hiroshima lovers, identical to her performing her services.
Exactly.
It's a symbol of abuse and a symbol of... That was his mother's expression of affection towards him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess some kind of... there's something very deep and abusive. That's the root of what sends Rorschach down this path, or at least his obsession or his desire to see... I think it's like a desire to see a better world. Almost like a Batman-esque kind of thing where no child should have to experience the death of Martha and Thomas kind of thing, or the death of their parents. To him, it's like, no, I could kind of see him being somebody that doesn't – he wants to be in a world where children don't have to grow up like that.
Right, exactly.
You know?
I always thought that
he has this aversion to – I mean, and it's an understandable aversion to sex and to women. Because that's what he grew up with. He grew up with a mother who was a whore that performed her services in the same, literally almost the same room as him. And not only that, but that mother had absolutely no love for him and abused him. And so I could understand why he hates women, or I don't know, not necessarily hates women, but has a fear and aversion to women.
Yeah.
And sexuality. I don't think he hates women, but...
No, he's...
Well, because he hangs out with Silk Spectre and shit. It's not like he can't completely...
And
she's
women
like
are...
the essence of womanhood, in a lot of ways.
Kitty Genovese and the other girl.
Right,
He obviously cares about their well-being and stuff. He's not a woman hater, but I used to think in the beginning that I was... He's a good guy and stuff, but I always thought his values were outdated because he despises prostitution as much as
I think a lot of his values are revealed in that little tidbit that Moore gives you about his father. about the image that he's conjured up about his father. And I think it's also that he's projecting his, it's like his political views or his moral compass has been affected, has been changed by the fact that he never knew who his father really was. He might have turned out to be a villain if he knew who his real father was.
Right,
you know what I mean? Because he would have probably some scumbag, obviously. Yeah, but he's made up this imaginary image that he was the complete opposite of what he probably really was. Yeah. And he wants to, and he probably projects that onto what he thinks. It's the opposite of his experience of life.
Definitely.
The mirror opposite of it. Or not the mirror opposite, but the what he would want to see. What is contrary to what he has experienced thus far
exactly.
in life.
But so I used to think that he just, you know, sort of grew up with conservative values and never really questioned them. Going after thieves and stuff like that, that's one thing. But going after prostitutes, I always thought, like, I don't see Batman taking out prostitutes because it's kind of like prostitution, gambling and shit. I kind of view them as victimless crimes. They should be legal anyways. But I now understand why Rorschach, just like you said, why he goes after prostitutes too, because no kid should have to grow up with a prostitute mother. It's not a victimless crime in that, sure, the John pays for it and they make money and you think, okay, no one gets hurt. But I mean, you know, there's fucking families involved here. That's a lot of the times, I mean, there's a mouth to feed and that's why the woman is hooking. I mean, it's not just to, you know, support her own self. Yeah, whatever. So I understand now why he's against it. I should make a correction. I just realized this after thumbing through it. This is all a flashback that he experiences while looking at the splotch. But
yeah,
he does not tell Dr. Long this story. He just says some nice flowers. He keeps feeding pretty images to Dr. Long. Mm. And Dr. Long thinks he's making progress. He doesn't actually open up to Dr. Long. Even the bully story is...
Right, just memories that he doesn't share.
Yeah, just memories. He doesn't share.
Yeah, the bully story is, you know, obviously you see this young version of the future Rorschach.
Or at least the beginning.
And in a lot of ways, that's a big part of the first metamorphosis that you're talking about. So in the bully scene, we see him take this like donut that the guy's eating, the bully's eating, and he just shoves it in Rorschach's face.
All the while calling his mother a whore and making fun of him for, I got something for you, mother.
Exactly. Yeah. Anger and rage manifest in him as soon as that donut hits his face. And in the way that Gibbons has drawn the panels after he gets hit in the face, it's the cream on his face is it's shaped like the splotch on his mask that comes later.
Yeah, right. Like and it's a potential, it's like this, it's a possible Rorschach pattern. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, he takes a cigarette and jabs it in the fucking kid's eye.
Partially blinds a kid, and bites another kid's cheek off, skin out of his cheek.
And
like
gets
Robert
put into the home after that. That sort of sets up the sessions with Dr. Long that we see where Dr. Long really starts to change.
See, Dr. Long starts taking pills before Rorschach really opens up and tells him anything crazy. Okay, what disturbs Dr. Long from the very beginning is the way Rorschach stares at him. Mm. He says it a lot on the first two pages. He doesn't like how Rorschach stares at him. It makes him uncomfortable. That's where the beginning of the Abyss references.
Do you think he wasn't telling him any of that? Or is that just...
Because at the end, I mean... Okay. Some nice flowers. That's all he says. Why would he say that after
telling? Absolutely. No, you're right.
So, yeah. So, he goes berserk. This always reminds me... This bully scene always reminds me of Ralphie in A Christmas Story. You know, TBS always plays it like 24 hours. There's a scene where kids are picking on Ralphie. There's a bully that keeps picking on Ralphie. And Ralphie goes nuts and starts wailing on him.
The bully with the red hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that fucking scene. This reminds me of it, only it's fucking hardcore. He blinds the fucking guy.
Oh, man, that's funny. Did Christmas Story come out before this?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
This is, what, 85?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway.
whatever. It's just, I don't know. Reminds me of it. I love that scene. But, yeah.
Okay, the scene right before the really important sessions that we see, I've found some annotated notes on Watchmen in some places that indicate that there's a mobile up in the inside of Dr. Long's
house.
It's
on page 8.
And we also start to see the interactions with Dr. Long and his wife. Back at home, like when he goes home and he contemplates what he's learned about Rorschach for the day.
Yeah, she keeps telling him.
He starts seeing this pattern, this obsession that he starts developing for Walter Kovac, who of course is Rorschach. I don't know if his real name. Yeah. Walter Kovacs.
He refuses to call him Rorschach.
He refuses.
And then slips
up. That's a big part of the story. Is his Dr. Long is trying to attempt to convince Kovacs that he is not Rorschach. that he's actually Kovacs.
Yeah, right.
As we saw in Chapter 5, we really, you know, when he starts basically saying, why did you take my face off when they take it?
Give me back my face.
We really see that Rorschach believe, that he literally believes that he's Rorschach.
That's his real face, yeah.
Right, and the mobile that I was getting into, though, that's above them and during this whole interaction that Dr. Long's having with his wife is shaped like squid tentacles. And we see these shadow images of them, again, the Hiroshima lover shadows in the background with the squid tentacles looming down. Like, so we're always in Watchmen. Almost every clock you see is like 12:55.
Yeah, right.
Like, the hour of impending doom is coming.
Yeah, right.
There's always these references to the impending Armageddon. This one's like a literal one of like their true,
the actual
thing that's
demise
happen.
That's happening, not
right,
a nuclear
exactly.
bomb.
This is like this is the Ozymandias, like a indication of what's really going to happen.
Foreshadowing
the story with the giant squid coming.
It's
pretty cool.
It is cool.
It's really cool. The next session that we have with Dr. Long reveals how Kovacs becomes Kovacs / Rorschach.
The first time Rorschach...
He becomes Kovacs as Rorschach, I should call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time Rorschach really speaks up in any of these meetings with Long is when he tells him that he doesn't like it when he calls him Walter, and that he doesn't like him as a human being. And he's like, oh, really? Okay, why? And he's like, you're fucking fat, you're wealthy, you think you understand pain? I mean, he just starts listing things that he fucking
right.
hates about.
For all the reasons
this liberal
that we
bourgeois, talking, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly, this liberal bourgeois kind of... Yeah, and he starts calling him out on it.
Cultural relativist attitude.
Yeah, it's like, you don't understand. It's basically the point of view, you've never experienced it, you don't know it.
Yeah.
You're not out there fighting the fight against
right.
it. Rorschach sees everything. Obviously, he's an atheist. As we revealed, he does not believe in a god. He's in Manhattan in that respect. At the same time, he sees the existence of good and evil. He doesn't need a deity or a creator
you're right.
to believe in those
Absolutely
things.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you're
I mean?
Totally right. Exactly.
He doesn't need it. There doesn't need to be some kind of...
a big daddy in the sky is going to punish you if you don't fucking do right. Yeah. No, you don't need that.
In a sense, he's like Manhattan in that he believes that it's a clock without a maker.
Yeah, no one's at the steering wheel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no one at the steering wheel, so you have to be at the steering wheel.
Right,
that's
exactly.
how Rorschach sees it.
Exactly.
You have to make the decisions. You have to do the right thing. You have to, Manhattan's more like, I might end up there. You know what I mean?
Right. or whether I am or I'm, whether I end up there or not, it's not up to me because it's already been predetermined.
Exactly. Yeah.
So he's sort of, he's a fatalist and a defeatist.
Rorschach is, in a lot of ways, believes that you can, obviously he believes you can manifest too. What you want.
You change.
You can will.
Free will. Exactly.
Yeah.
We make decisions every day.
Right.
And we should be held responsible and accountable for
those
decisions.
But he doesn't need a god in order for him to make those decisions. His past experiences in life, you would see why he wouldn't believe in some kind of god.
Just from the
abuse and from the... In so many ways, Rorschach should have been a villain. But maybe some people might argue he's a villain. I don't think he's a villain.
Right. No, I don't think so either.
He does some. I think what he's doing. I think in Chapter 5, he makes a con. Like I've already said, this is a sane response to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, if the Watchmen world were real, I don't know. I don't see why he wouldn't be considered a hero. This is a fucking harsh world that these people are in.
Right.
Ours is fucking harsh too, don't get me wrong, but...
you may think that a lot of the people that he kills didn't exactly deserve death, but he doesn't kill anyone completely innocent.
No.
All the people he kills, even if
they
should have died, they should have definitely been,
in Chapter 5, he says sometimes, when he finds the guy trying to rape the woman in the alley, sometimes the night is kind to me. Obviously, he's going to kill this guy that's trying to rape and kill this woman in the alley, just like Kitty Genovese was. The session where he reveals to him, where Rorschach, or I'm sorry, Kovacs still.
Yeah.
Reveals to Dr. Long the story of Kitty Genovese. And Kitty Genovese, if people don't know this, was real. It's a real real murder that happened in 1964 in Kew Gardens in Queens, New York.
Yeah, right, okay.
And it's a completely real story. Moore used it to ground this story in a sort of reality also. Yeah, these are real people.
And this shit really happens.
This
a
shit
woman
really happens.
Gets raped and screams in her apartment complex, and her neighbors don't fucking do it.
38 neighbors.
Some of them even watched, Rorschach says.
And obviously, there in real life, there was this article that was put out that had a similar react, you know, that had a lot of social commentary on what happened that night. It was almost like Rorschach read that same article or something,
right.
You know. That was his reaction to it, his outrage to it.
This is his first peek into human nature.
And part of his reaction to it was due to the fact that he worked at this dress shop where Kitty Genovese, who was a real person in real life, but also a character in the comic book. In the comic book, they made it seem like she was a gorgeous and beautiful woman who ordered this dress that was made with Dr. Manhattan, the material that Dr. Manhattan had made or had changed or altered move and have like patterns that move around, and they happen to kind of look like Rorschach blotches, and they seem to react to Rorschach's emotions and expressions. But anyway, she didn't want it because she thought it was ugly.
Uh-huh.
So Rorschach thought it was beautiful, and he took it, the black and white in the pattern.
Yeah.
No gray, you know.
Right, exactly. No gray area. That's what he likes about it. Black and white.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. After he reads the story of this woman, the same woman that discarded this dress, who is murdered, due to the fact that nobody came to this woman's assistance, that nobody did anything about it, that people were just apathetic.
Can I read this real quick?
Yeah,
it's two panels here.
Of course.
Raped, tortured, killed here in New York, outside her own apartment building. Almost 40 neighbors heard screams. Nobody did anything. Nobody called cops. Some of them even watched. Do you understand? Some of them even watched. I knew what people were then. Behind all the evasions, all the self-deception, ashamed for humanity, I went home. I took the remains of her unwanted dress and made a face that I could bear to look at in the mirror. He's so ashamed of humanity because we're so innately evil.
Yeah.
He's like the Joker in Dark Knight in that he really thinks that human nature is fucking disgusting. And all this pretense of civility goes away the second fear takes over. But he doesn't take it to the extent that the Joker does. He thinks that's fucking evil, that's a terrible thing. He's ashamed of that feature of human nature. So he hides his human face.
Right. He hides his human face and covers it up with the dress of the material that was Kitty Genovese. But as it says, there's another interesting line in there where he talks about cutting the dress up as he's making it into a mask.
Yeah.
And he says something. What's the reference? He makes a reference about women as he's doing it. Cut it enough so that it didn't look like a woman anymore.
Yeah, when I had cut it enough, it didn't look like a woman anymore.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Nobody wanted it. Meant for me. Took it home. Learned to cut it using heated implements to reseal latex. When I had cut it enough, it didn't look like a... Yeah, womanly curves disturb him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the female figure.
Yeah, it just bothers him.
Yeah.
It's not to the point. It's not to the point where he's almost like borderline. Maybe if he was had gone another way, he would have been.
Well, if he had gone the other way, he would have been the guy he kills when he becomes Rorschach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that guy probably had a very similar upbringing.
Yes.
He hates women, and so now but he went in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. That's why Rorschach's a fucking hero. That's why he's a fucking badass.
He fought against the urge to do those things.
He still recognizes that all these bad things are fucking wrong, and just because a bunch of evil things happen to me, that doesn't give me a license to commit evil.
Right.
Evil is fucking evil. Yeah, go ahead.
At the end of the chapter, another little tidbit that Moore made was the whole, it even looks like it's the splotch on his face, the traditional one, where it's the two people fused together, the sex monster kind of thing. Uh-huh.
That he drew.
That raging thing. You can see that it's something out of like the mind of a serial killer or like sociopath. But like you said, he went the other way. It's like his will was strong enough to... It was out of willpower and everything. It's like
faculty.
Exactly. His moral faculty was stronger than any kind of urge that he might have had to, or any kind of lack of impulse control he might have had
to go
out and commit those fucking
those
deeds. And in fact, to the contrary of that, where he wants to go out and try to stop people from doing that.
Totally.
But at the same time, he understands those people.
Right. Okay, yeah.
And he's like the comedian.
And he knows they still have no excuse.
And he's like the comedian in that respect. Like, he could touch that nature.
Right.
And he gets into the comedian right here also, about how he admires a comedian.
Right.
And about how he... For being able to look darkness in the face and accept it.
Right. And not compromise. Yeah.
Exactly.
Could you imagine when that guy was shackled to the radiator and he drops the fucking hacksaw there? Mm-hmm. And he leaves him in the burning building. If the guy was like, no, you don't understand, man. My mom was a whore. She abused me, blah, blah, blah. Right. Try to excuse his behavior, to excuse his murdering that girl by his fucking, he's like, yeah, well, so was my mom, motherfucker. And I don't do that shit. No excuse. You can never blame your fucking evil current behavior on anything that happened to you. You're still a moral person. Yeah,
it's all about what you do in this life. Right. You can't, there's no blame. There's no one else that's going to take the blame for what the actions
you're so fucking responsible.
You're the one that pulled the trigger.
He's such an existentialist.
You can blame the gun, but ultimately it's always the hand that pulls the trigger.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
He's much more of a Sartrean existentialist than a Nietzschean one, but still, this is personal responsibility, no scapegoating.
Right, absolutely. And when we went over this the other night, we were talking about the murderer of Kitty Genovese, Winston Mosley.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, when you read about it, he's still alive, trying to get out on parole. 2013, the guy that killed Kitty Genovese is still, who admittedly, killed two other women before her.
Right.
He was a family man, was some kind of machinist, seemingly regular average
blue collar job,
he was into sneaking out at night while his wife was asleep and committing fucking hideous murders on women.
He murdered women
off as breaking into people's houses and burglarizing them and stealing shit, obviously. But then he also turned into raping women, and then it turned into murdering and raping them. Murdering them before raping them.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. He was a necrophile. Yep.
Pulled some Clockwork Orange shit, raped a woman in front of her husband.
While he was in prison, he committed, I never read exactly what he did, but he did some self-inflicted wounds to himself where they had to send him to Attica, to the hospital, the state hospital or whatever. And
he overpowered the guard.
And he overpowered his guard, and apparently beat the guard to the point where it was described his eyeballs were bleeding.
Yeah.
And then he took like five hostages at the hospital, and apparently there was a married couple, raped the wife in front of the husbands.
Right.
And so eventually they tracked him and caught him again.
And in response to this long, imprisonment that he's, has to endure as a result of these crimes, he literally said, for my victims, it's a 1 minute, 10 minute, maybe an hour long ordeal, and then they're dead. And for me, I gotta sit here rotting in this prison for months and years and shit like that. As if he's got the bum.
He doesn't even, and this is a real life person. We're not talking about a comic book character.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly.
Not a fucking comic book character. This is a real person. This is a real statements that he was making.
Right.
He's a complete fucking sociopath. It's just crazy. Just like frank statements. When he was even when he was on trial, he made the statement, I would kill women because they didn't fight back.
Yeah.
That's it. It was just easier. Oh, like it was a business decision.
Yeah, totally. Just
like it was
prudent.
A fucking,
was
like I had to
pragmatic.
Kill somebody. I had this urge to kill somebody.
Yeah. Right.
I got to fucking make a choice. I'm going to do it.
He drove around for hours looking for a potential victim, and when he saw Kitty Genovese walking through the alley,
predator.
He was like, oh, he's totally
absolute predator.
Vulnerable. She's
and
fucking.
Having been a police officer, I can absolutely tell you that there is an element of evil in this society where there are people, there's people out there that's just how they stay alive. They're predators. Whether it be people that habitually burglarize houses, sneak into them, steal shit. That's just how they make money. There is a whole culture of people that do hideous things to other people, and that's how they survive. They're like fucking evil parasites that not only will feed off of you, but kill you. They're the fucking vermin of society. This is how they survive. That's just how they've learned and taught. And there absolutely has to be some kind of apparatus that protects society from these people.
Totally.
Bear witness to the shooting at Dark Knight Rises.
Yep.
Bear witness to that kind of stuff. That's real. That's not a comic book right there.
Exactly. Exactly.
The reason I bring it up, though, is just because the feeling that it evokes when you read about that kind of stuff, if you're not a complete sociopath yourself and you have some kind of moral bearing and love for civilization, that's how Rorschach feels. When you feel that loathing in your gut for that kind of stuff, Rorschach's the response to it.
The name of his game is Moral Outrage. That's what drives him to become Kovacs wearing the Rorschach mask, and it finally drives him to the next step to become Rorschach himself when he psychologically tortures the guy by handcuffing him to the radiator and leaving him the fucking axe on, then lighting the building on fire. It's not punishment. It's not punishment because punishment is like negative reinforcement. He's not trying to correct this guy's future behavior. He's just trying to restore balance. You did wrong, so you need wrong done to you. That's like, just how it works.
And that's like going back to chapter 5. Again, this, the fearful symmetry.
Exactly. That's right. That's balance.
Exactly. Totally. Like, even when that cop tells Rorschach, you blah, blah, put all these people in jail, it all balances out in the end, man.
Right.
After that session, oh, I should mention that Kitty Genovese, Rorschach worked in the dress shop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we mentioned that. And that's,
oh, that's how
that's
he
how gets a hold
dress.
Of the material and
yeah,
everything.
Right.
And,
yeah, okay, yeah.
Which is interesting. Remember he talks about overcoming his, or not overcoming, but trying to, he can't, couldn't stand working there because it was a dress shop. And
there's
there
female, there's mannequins. There's female forms all over the place.
How uncomfortable he felt working
yeah,
there.
Right, yeah, right, right.
But he did it. I mean, he's like he fought through it and did it anyway.
Right, right,
but,
right. Exactly.
And he got his mask there.
Definitely. That was the yeah. That was the spoils of.
Excuse me. He got his face.
His
there.
Face. Exactly.
And then we get into this whole story about him in the cafeteria and the fight, the confrontation. Some big ass guys. Like, and that really, it's a great scene of showing you just how tenacious and extreme Rorschach is. He will do anything. And how resourceful, in a way. Oh,
yeah,
look,
right.
I'm going to pick up the burning hot fat that's available to me.
Somebody,
here.
Oh, Night Owl says, this comes later, but Night Owl reflects on working with Rorschach and saying how he was rational back in those days because he was so utterly unpredictable. He loved going into the field with Rorschach back then because he was absolutely unpredictable. Wow. But that'll come later in chapter 7.
But he throws that shit in that guy's face.
Right, yeah.
Of course, the guy was going to shank him. But I mean,
the guy was about to shank him.
He
yeah,
fully defended
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, so it's justified in that respect. Uh-huh. So Moore writes it. It's not like it's just an outright attack.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
But obviously, he's willing to even one-up a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Care, he's about to... Like, it's not that it's Rorschach's
me?
Life.
I'm going to fucking... Yeah.
It's not like it's self-defense. You're about to kill another human being. That human being happens to be me.
Yeah.
But that's irrelevant. You're about to commit murder. You're a fucking murderer.
If he was going to do that to some woman or whatever.
He would have done the same thing.
He would have thrown hot
exactly,
oil in the
exactly,
face.
Exactly.
It's not totally. Like it was extreme because it was just him.
Just because, yeah, exactly. Yeah, taking it personal. Oh, you want to kill me? No, he doesn't give a fuck about that.
Oh, no, you're throwing hot oil in whoever's face.
Yeah, right.
Fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Back at home with Dr. Long again, when he's just drinking coffee all night, looking over his notes of Rorschach, wife's trying to get him to come to bed, he's refusing sex, he's gaining this aversion to sex himself, just like Rorschach, kind of, like he's becoming his patient. Mirroring,
yeah, right, right.
Start beginning to mirror his patient just like a Rorschach splotch, you know?
There you go, yeah, totally. Or be its shadow, because there's a lot of,
even,
it's not
the,
just reflection,
the coffee
shadows.
Machine, and he's making the coffee, and you see, when he takes the
pot off the
carafe
burner.
Off the burner, and as the coffee's dripping, Gibbons has put a little butterfly. The drip pattern.
Right, right. On the bottom,
like
on the burner is a butterfly.
It's almost like this moment of metamorphosis.
Yeah, right.
Like when his wife comes out and there's that hole.
There's the mobile again, directly over his wife's shadow.
The marriage is destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like right above her shadow because the impending doom is over his marriage right here.
Oh, well, maybe I just sometimes notice how often you bring up work when you know I need sex. Good night, Mal.
Yeah, right.
Says, wait, Gloria, what do you mean? Come back here. We could talk. He's just kind of stunned, dumbfounded here.
Because he's realizing.
He's taking his pills with a cup of
he's
coffee.
He's realizing he's becoming just like Rorschach.
Yeah. Because when you know what Rorschach knows, you realize that that is the only sane response. He's just been, the doctor's just been too sheltered to know the true nature of the world.
There's the anecdotes about comedian. We've talked a lot about comedian. When you read chapter 6, I think a lot of stuff that we've brought up about comedian, stuff I haven't really heard from a lot of different sources, I think it's really kind of an affirmation of how we felt about how, I think, what did I say? I think I said, what did I say about comedian that lives in right relation to how he sees his view of nature, the chaotic view he has of nature. Rorschach got an admiration for him for that. And plus, he also saw him as the American hero.
Totally.
Standing up for his country, which is a mirror of
what he thought his father was.
Like.
Maybe
exactly.
He's like, oh, wow, he admires the comedian because he's like, that's what dad was like.
It's kind of like a fatherly kind of thing,
I think. And that's why he doesn't want to believe that the comedian raped her because he needs to believe that, you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. He wasn't there.
Tried to rape her.
Because,
yeah.
You know, obviously, comedian's a lot older than him.
Right. So he could be a fatherly figure to him.
Comedian's at least a good 20 years older or more.
Right.
So
for all he knows comedian was his dad.
Could be.
That could be like a secret fantasy of Rorschach.
Maybe that's going to be in Before Watchmen. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't think they'd go that far in that book.
It'd be too ambitious,
yeah,
but it would certainly fit.
It makes sense. It would fit into the story.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It would come from the story.
Okay. Anyway. The final metamorphosis that truly makes Walter Kovacs Rorschach is, of course, when he's looking for the child murderer.
Yeah.
The child murderer lives in an abandoned dress shop, just like, or a former dress shop, that just like the one that he used to work in, which is the next great metamorphosis, the one where he first read the article about Kitty Genovese and made the mask, to the confrontation he has with the child killer. both take place in a dress shop, and I think it's interesting.
He's overcome his, well, not completely, obviously, but he can tolerate them. So to some extent, he's overcome his phobia, you might say, of the female form, which is just a testament to how mentally tough he is.
Yeah, right.
You know,
even the things he has aversions, psychological aversions to, he could overcome.
He explicitly states, of course, he these are Rorschach's words, that there was a period in the beginning when he was Kovacs wearing a mask. And then after this event is where he considers
him becoming Rorschach.
Yeah, considers to be the beginning of Rorschach, the birth of Rorschach.
Yeah, even
and it's very baptismal the way the whole thing.
And even
plays
Dr. Long makes slips up and calls him Rorschach.
Yeah,
remember,
yeah.
In his notes.
Yeah, right.
Like,
when he's reviewing his notes at home. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh goddamn, even notes. Yeah. He's like, goddamn it.
Yeah. I mean, Kovacs.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's when they had the coffee drop thing going on with the butterfly.
Yeah.
It's like at that moment, it's like when he accidentally, or not accidentally, when he calls him Rorschach, the metamorphosis occurs. That's the moment. You know, this is such a grisly scene. There's not even really any writing. It's great. All the panels that Gibbons puts up, it's just, they're amazing, incredible, all time. Some of the greatest comic book stuff ever.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes into that dress shop and just, you know, each panel is so expressive. It tells you so much. You don't even need words.
No. He sees them chewing on a femur. He knows it's a human femur.
And then he makes a connection when he looks into the furnace.
And sees the little girl's underwear or something. Yeah,
little girl's underwear, and he makes the connection between the femur and the underwear. And he doesn't even say anything.
Oh, the guy's like, say something.
Kills the dogs.
Yeah.
And the blood on the trench coat.
Uh-huh.
The new continent.
A violent
new continent on his trench coat. It's blood ritual. There's been the sacrifice.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there
and
you go.
It's ritualistic. The metamorphosis itself, the true changing into the butterfly, or whatever you want to call Rorschach. Never doesn't say anything to the child killer.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. Just he knows what he needs to do.
Yeah.
And he's going to make him suffer before he does it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to call
him. He does tell him that he shouldn't bother sawing through the cuffs.
Right. He does tell him that. That was the whole point.
That's implied.
And the only reason he does that is that they're giving an explanation to why he leaves the hacksaw.
Yeah, right.
Why
would he what?
He leaves the means of escape there.
Right,
but it's out of reach and he can't do anything about it.
Or he can, but he's going to have to cut off his own hand to fucking do it. It's kind of like Walking Dead.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right.
That scene on the roof.
Yeah, that's right, with Merle. And if there's any doubt that this might be some random innocent dude or whatever, that's all dispelled when the guy's like, I didn't do nothing. Is this about the child?
He swears
up and
down.
I didn't kill her. I didn't do it. Yeah, right. Rorschach didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And he just brings it up.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Then in the fire. We had the blood and then the fire, a cleansing burn, a metamorphic fire, the rising of a phoenix. Some of the most profound, I mean, not just in comic books, I mean, but just in writing.
Yeah, Alan just in literature.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the description of the burning dress shop, the mannequins on fire melting, and if you just get that image of the man inside, the child killer brought to justice as Rorschach would see it.
Stood in street, watched it burn. Imagined limbless felt torsos inside, breasts blackening, bellies smoldering, bursting into flame one by one. Watched for an hour. Nobody got out. Stood in firelight, sweltering, bloodstain on chest like map of violent new continent. Felt cleansed, felt dark planet turn under my feet. And knew what cats know that makes them scream like babies in the night. Looked at sky through smoke, heavy with human fat. And God was not there. The cold, suffocating dark goes on forever, and we are alone. Live our lives, lacking anything better to do. Devise reason later. Born from oblivion, bear children hell-bound as ourselves, go into oblivion. There is nothing else. Existence is random, has no pattern save what we imagine after staring at it for too long. No meaning save what we choose to impose. This rudderless world is not shaped by vague metaphysical forces. It is not God who kills the children, not fate that butchers them, or destiny that feeds them to the dogs. It's us, only us. Streets stank of fire. The void breathed hard on my heart, turning its illusions to ice, shattering them. Was reborn then, free to scrawl own design on this morally blank world. Was Rorschach. Does that answer your questions, Doctor?
Values and meaning are imposed. They're not given to us by any fucking omnipotent deity. He admits that right there. He realizes that now. It's like an awakening, and now he's ready to fucking, like you said, it's a blank canvas for him to paint his own moral
portrait. I really love the line. I really, really love the line, this rudderless world is not shaped by vague metaphysical forces. It is not God who kills the children, not fate that butchers them, or destiny that feeds them to the dogs. It's us, only us. That's just... It's all about our choices. It's not, there's nothing, we can't blame some.
No one to blame.
Yeah, right. Oh, God wanted them to die. It was our responsibility. Yep. It's our choice.
Right. No scapegoats.
It's all or nothing for Rorschach.
False faith.
Yeah.
As Sartre would say.
He's the hero that the Watchmen world needs in the face of the impending apocalypse. The reality of it, it's a man-made apocalypse. God's not making it. God's not going to fire nuclear weapons. It's all the decisions
God didn't build them.
People are crazy enough to do it. Here's Rorschach. Even in the face of all that, he's not going to cease or desist.
Yeah, he's not like, hey, everybody, there's no gods, there's no rules. We can do whatever we want. Fuck it. We each play God to ourselves and fucking impose meaning on the world, our own meaning.
Right, we're all projecting.
The fact that there's no hierarching meaning doesn't mean that yours, the one that you impose on the world, is sort of like a second-rate one because there's no, like, objective one to appeal to, and that it's all just relative and subjective, and you got your morals and I got mine. I mean, it is to some extent in that everyone's doing their own projecting, but yours are yours, and you have to live by those with the same conviction that you would have lived by if you thought that the rules you were following came from a fucking deity. You got to give it the same level of commitment. It doesn't cheapen it. It's not cheapened by the fact that they come from you instead of a god. They're still yours and you got to live by them. Because if there is like an overarching principle, it's that you should live by some fucking principles. At least but live by some fucking principles. Mm-hmm. Choose which ones they are, but don't just throw your hands up and say, well, we're all going to get nuked anyways.
Never surrender.
Never surrender. Yeah, exactly. That's his fucking no compromise.
No regrets. At the end of the chapter, we have Dr. Malcolm Long, who's become it's amazing how they just introduce a character. Like, Dr. Long. This is the first time we've seen Dr. Long.
And he's so pivotal, I mean.
And he's pivotal to the story. Yeah. He's pivotal to the character Rorschach because he fleshes out. He's used as a device that fleshes out who Rorschach really is. I mean, we're given a pretty good taste of him before this, but then it just dives head deep in Chapter 6. You really understand the core and heart of what Watchmen's about in a lot of ways. It's interesting, too, because it's like in the dead center of the story. The world of Watchmen's really revealed to you in 6.
This is the end of the first half.
The nature of this world.
Right now, 7 through 12. Yeah, exactly.
Which is a mirror to our own real world. When you really think about it, when you look at things like Winston Mosley and the horror that occurred at The Dark Knight Rises... And just incident Columbine. Columbine was nearby Aurora.
It was. It's on the other side of town,
We're not much different than Watchmen. Let's just hope that we make the right choices.
The evil that Rorschach laments didn't come from Satan, right? There's no Satan you can blame your shit on.
And that's why it's so much like this. That's what I'm trying to get at, I guess. I mean, it's just, the evil that's being put out in this world is projected by us.
That makes Rorschach ashamed of humanity. But the other side of that same token is that any virtue that we embody didn't come from God either. It also came directly from us.
It's our own virtue.
Actually, we're kind of fucking I don't know. I mean, that's something to be almost impressed by, right?
Absolutely.
What were we saying the other billions of years of evolution so that creatures could be civil to each other and respect each other's dignity.
In terms of the metamorphosis that we see happen with Rorschach in the chapter, through his stories, the metamorphosis we see with him becoming, with the Kitty Genovese, he becomes like the soft Rorschach. He becomes like, he's like Batman. He's just like Batman at that point, where Batman has come to the point where he's going to take the fight.
He'll beat
motherfuckers
up, but he's not going to kill anything.
Like I was saying, so that another child had the had to live without his parents being murdered, or that just that general idea.
So there's no other child.
Yeah, so Rorschach was running around tying people up, fucking beating them up, sending them to jail, you know, fighting the good fight, doing the right thing. But then the child killer incident, that metamorphosis. The best analogy I come up with, the first time it's like Batman, and then he becomes Punisher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When he becomes
Rorschach.
He will do
fucking anything to fucking exact vengeance and, you know, right.
Definitely. And there's a line.
As Rorschach would say, retribution.
Right.
Yeah.
If exactly. It's a, yeah, right. You just got to pay the piper.
He's the vehicle of this piper.
There you go. He's an agent of karma. He's going to make sure.
Mm-hmm. He's an agent of karma, and he realizes he's going to suffer for his own karma. He's willing to pay that price.
That's
to
fine.
Be
yeah,
that,
yeah.
To be that agent.
Yeah.
He's willing to suffer.
He's going to have to hold himself accountable. That'll be his last great act.
He's willing to pay the price, the karmic price that he does for his own actions, killing people. The killing he does himself.
Right, yeah.
But he's willing to pay that price. You know, he's willing to. In the end, he's willing to die. He's not going to succumb to Veidt's plans.
Right.
No way. He's the greatest comic book character.
Wow.
I mean, I love his character. I don't know what it is. I have an emotional attachment to it in a way. I don't know.
Yeah, right. No, I understand.
In a lot of ways, he's a real. I don't know. To me, he's a hero. But I could see why.
Oh, but I mean. His brutality, though, I empathize with it. When you told me that story about when you read to me the whatever it was, the Wikipedia entry last night about Mosley, especially after when he breaks out and he takes hostages at the hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just whenever I hear stuff like
even that, after having spent years in prison, he still goes out and does the same thing.
Oh, he totally
like an animal.
Yeah. Fucking evil can't be left unchecked. Motherfuckers can't just get away with shit.
Why do we argue? Life's so fragile. A successful virus clinging to a speck of mud suspended in endless nothing. Next week, I could be putting her into a garbage sack, placing her outside for collection. I sat on the bed. I looked at the Rorschach blot. I tried to pretend it looked like a spreading tree. Shadows pooled beneath it. But it didn't. It looked more like a dead cat I once found. The fat, glistening grubs writhing blindly, squirming over each other, frantically tunneling away from the light. But even that is avoiding the real horror. The horror is this. In the end, it is simply a picture of empty, meaningless blackness. We are alone. There is nothing else.
So, what seems to be the problem?
I'm depressed. Life seems harsh and cruel. I feel alone in a threatening world where what lies ahead is vague and uncertain.
Ah, yes. Well, the treatment is simple. Shed Talk broadcasts weekly, and there's a new episode tonight. You should tune in and listen to it. I'm sure it will pick you right up.
Shed Talk? But, Doctor, you don't understand.
I am Shed Talk!
I'm not a fan of Superman.
You set the bar pretty low.
Right.
With that grind reviews,
the way I always thought comics were cool.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I don't know.
I want to see that guy in space.
Exactly. There's nothing like, God, this is pretty good, but if he was in space.
I'm in the shed. I gotta be honest.
Please have strong opinions about shit you don't know dick about.
Shed Talk is a podcast dedicated to bringing you the best from the past and present of comics, video games, movies, and all things pop culture. You can find Shed Talk on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or directly at shedtalk.podomatic.com.